Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for September the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is Hour 2 at 2. And the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the tradition of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a road to hoe, I'll tell you that right now, man. It's looking brutal. But we trust in God Almighty, so no matter how brutal it looks, we've got some hope and some faith and some good things to look to. That's the good news. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me to preserve the nation, his collegiate series, book and DVD set, and more. Along with his lifelong goals to preserve the nation, his website's freedomsrisingsun.com, weekly webinars, and more there. Doctor, hope you had a God, family, country-filled weekend, sir.
Well, you know, the weekends are never long enough, but, you know, we're back in the saddle. And of course, you never get out of it in the cause of liberty. You're always working on it. We did a lot of things over the weekend for that. But, you know, you get back in your workaday week, and it seems like it's deja vu all over again, you know, sometimes.
Amen. And the workaday week is more God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property, and all that. I get it. So there's not a lot of difference between the weekends except for a little bit more spare time. And the question for most of us Americans is, hey, what do you do with that time? Are you using that time to build the sacred cause of liberty? Are you using that time to get closer to your God, closer to your family? Are you using that time to make sure that the next generation has freedom? Those are the questions to contemplate for everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Weekly webinars available, freedomsrisingsun.com. Dr. Bradley answers your questions, Q&A on the Constitution, and a whole lot more. So check that out. As you know, Joe Biden went ballistic. I mean, he literally turned into a dictator thug on Thursday. He said, hey, we're going to vaccinate everybody, even in the private sector, people who have over 100 employees. Then the Republicans said, we're all going to sue. He mocked and said, bring it, do it, have at it, good luck. The battle rages on. Who knows what the courts will do? Time will tell. You know, in the old days, you would think the courts would side on the right of this. But nowadays, I don't even know if they'll take the case. They'll create some kind of political split the hairs decision, something like, well, the federal government has authority to mandate this, of course, especially in an emergency, but they don't have the ability to create penalties. That's a congressional deal. And somehow they'll probably split hairs and manipulate politically on this thing. But so Alan Dershowitz, well-known professor at Harvard, etc., said courts will rule against Biden on vaccine penalties. That's Jack Phillips with the article Western Journal. But he's saying, look, they'll side saying government has this authority, but you know, the carrying out of it is the problematic part. We need Congress to kind of be involved in this or whatever else. And you know, I don't know what the reality is there. But I bring all this up because this is the time where we, the American people, need to fight back. You know, people, 75%, according to the latest ABC, whatever big study, said they're not going to take the vaccines. They're not going to take the jab to keep their job. They'll leave their job first. I don't know how many of those people have the mojo to really carry through with it. But if we really had that kind of mutiny happen, 75% of the unvaccinated. So what do you got? 30% of the nation unvaccinated now? That's close to, you know, 80 million, 100 million people or whatever. If even 10% of those people jettison their jobs, it would be serious enough. So really the question is, what kind of mettle do the people have, Dr. Bradley?
Well, I can't speak to the mettle that the people have. Obviously, we're Americans now in the 21st century, and we've largely lost what the nation was founded on in terms of the heart and soul of the nation. But there's so much to talk about this thing. First of all, the general government does not have power to do what they're claiming the power to do. There is none whatsoever. The president cannot declare it. The legislature cannot legislate on it. And the courts cannot enforce. They have no authority whatsoever to do that. And everybody looks at this supremacy clause, so-called, you know, in the sixth article of the United States Constitution. Oh, yeah. We're all supreme, general level. Anyway, but it has to
cross state lines. We've got to care about the welfare of the people. Of course they can do it. They lie.
Here's the deal. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which are made in pursuance thereof, are the supreme law of the land. Okay, so if you keep it within the bounds established within the Constitution, and we know, if you read the Ninth Amendment, even if they didn't mention a right that they're seeking to uphold and preserve through the Constitution, you still have that right. If you read the Tenth Amendment, it says the general government does not have the power to do anything unless the power was delegated to it. It simply is not there. And so, and clear back in 1798, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson wrote some magnificent papers about nullification, the Virginia resolutions and the Kentucky resolutions. And therein, they talk about the fact that the limits and bounds that are on the nation, the general government, are specifically enumerated. And they talk about this concept of nullification. It was a soundly founded, well understood process in the founding era, wherein, and it's kind of interesting. If a power is delegated to the national government or general government, and they begin to abuse that power, you can correct that. And by the way that Jefferson and Madison spoke out was through the ballot box. If they begin to usurp and abuse a power that was not delegated to the general government, the proper constitutional solution is nullification. And the state legislatures have just got to step in and say, over our dead bodies, not on my
watch. Now, let me tell you what we talked about on Saturday. It was Sheriff Mack and myself. He even went to the Supreme Court and beat Bill Clinton over this very issue about what authority does the federal government have over states and local officials. And basically, based on dual sovereignty, there is no authority over them whatsoever. And so Sheriff Mack won at the Supreme Court. Well, anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is Richard Mack said he went to court and won, and he's so grateful that he did, but he doesn't think the right remedy is to go to the courts at all. His point is, you know what? The states don't need to ask permission to say, no, that's not happening in my state. And Joe has no authority over the states. And the states just need to nullify now, not go to some rogue thug judge with an agenda to ask permission. Just nullify now. Anyway, we talked about that being the real remedy, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that is absolutely correct. And the fact of the matter is that almost nobody will do that. Some years ago, I wrote a 3-page generic nullification resolution, submitted it to the Utah legislature. 3 pages, that's all it is. It's a fill-in-the-blanks thing. It's so simple and easy. And by the way, I didn't have to create any of the verbiage in it. I just used the words of some icons like Jefferson and Madison. And basically, the legislature has no backbone. And here's what the deal is. They're going to get pushback by, they'll take away our educational funding. They'll take away our transportation funding. They'll take away our welfare state funding with Medicaid, Medicare kinds of things. And that's what Biden is going to leverage on this thing. Now, the fact of the matter is that Biden picked a number. Anybody that has more than 100 employees. What the? Are you kidding me? Tell me where that authority comes from. Oh, well, they're just using a bigger. If you have more employees, you lose some rights of independence? Are you kidding me? If you have less employees, you have more rights, or vice versa? This is completely illogical and completely violates all Americanist principles whatsoever. And you know, it's because of ignorance. And it's because of, well, I've told you before about our saying when we were kids, and I don't remember the origins of why we said it this way, but the idea was you accept the nickel, you accept the noose. You take their money, you allow them to put a leash on you. And that's exactly what we're doing in the country right now. And they're going to leverage everything. Well, you won't get your educational funding for your K-12, or your universities will be denied it. Transportation, you know, roads, whatever, your idea of medical. Come on, people. We've been co-opted in every level. The police are co-opted because they take grants from the feds. It's something we've sold our souls for a mess of pottage, and we've got to say, nope, not going to happen. We will forego anything and everything we have to do this. But the legislature has no backbone. That's been
so Ron Paul said it this way. He wrote for Campaign for Liberty a response to the overreach by Biden. I would say the criminal activity by Joe. Biden's executive order forcing companies with 100 or more employees to require COVID vaccinations or weekly testing has no basis in science, the Constitution, or the principles of a free society. It also sets a dangerous precedent that can and will be used to justify future federal mandates on businesses and their employees. I couldn't have said it better myself, Doctor.
Well, he is a pretty bright guy, and he does have a pretty good grasp on this Americanist concept. But here's the deal. Tell me where the boundaries are. I mean, if they can do it here with 100 employees, why not 50? Why not 25? Why not 10? Why not 1? Why could they not say an arbitrary unilateral number they picked out of the ether and say, oh, we've got power to do this or that or the other? There is no limits or bounds unless they are the limits and bounds specifically stated in the Constitution. And if, in fact, they can just scooch those numbers around wherever they want, we have no Constitution. They're constructing it to be nothing. You can say it means nothing at all. And so what we are doing is absolutely about abandoning our form of government if we listen on this, and countless other examples. I mean, we could give example after example where already the overreach has been fully embraced by society.
And, all right, and when we come back, I'm going to kind of read the tea leaves a little bit. I know that it's conjecture to some degree, but what's going to happen on this? Has Biden bitten off more than he can chew? Is the pushback going to be enough? Or are we going to just have this shoved down our throats? What do you think? Where do you think the rubber's going to meet the road on this thing? Oftentimes, I think that the fix is in, but then the people push back and just do enough to stop it. What do you think is going to happen here? We'll talk about that. And then I want to switch topics on you. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. So what do you think of the tea leaves? What do you think the future holds on this vaccine mandate? Joe Biden literally went for broke mandating this. A lot of governors saying they're going to push back, but they're all talking about courts as the remedy. I don't think that is the remedy. I think that lacks guts. I think that throws it on the altar of the Supreme judges, if you will, if you ever even get there. You get split cases, you go to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court does some political move that if you're not very careful and they render against you, then it makes it 10 times harder to nullify because then you look like it's just sour grapes, not like you're using a constitutional appropriate, legal, legitimate remedy. So the problem is that they're barking up the wrong trees for defense on this thing, in my personal opinion. They're wimping out on their responsibilities or they don't understand, not sure which. Nevertheless, what do you think is going to happen here, Dr. Bradley?
Well, so much to say about that. The circular firing squad they use, the courts blame the legislature blames the executive blames the courts. I mean, everybody points the finger, nobody takes the bull by the horns and follows it through. The reason most of them say go to courts is look what their training for their ministry was. It was in law. So many that are in legislative positions or executive positions, they're lawyers. They hold this great regard for the altar they worship at, the courts. So obviously they continue to feed that beast. And of course, if you read so what Jefferson wrote, for example, there is no supreme branch of the government. Everybody has a responsibility to hold their actions within the constitutional limits. So we've got to say, okay, we're going to check and balance with the powers delegated within our form of government the founders established. We've got to quit diluting those things. Looking at the tea leaves, I think Americans...
Well, before the tea leaves, we've got to simply say, Biden, you don't have any constitutional authority, therefore we are not going to obey. Now, they would suggest we're in civil disobedience if we don't obey. I would submit to you that he's in violation of his oath. We're not involved in civil disobedience. We're merely saying you don't have authority to legislate anything. It is not an emergency. We've already had the COVID going on for 2 years, almost, 18 months, whatever. And furthermore, if we believe the scientists, hey, COVID's not going away anytime soon. It's just going to morph, you know, different strain like the flu, and it's never going away. Okay, if that's true, how is it an emergency? Even if it was an emergency, the president has short-term ability maybe to do something, but that short-term decision-making doesn't last very long. At some point, it's got to go to the other branches of government, and the checks and balances have got to come to play. So the bottom line here is that the president's violating his oath of office. We're not engaged in any civil disobedience if we are unwilling to carry out his unauthorized mandate.
Well, the president only has power to take care of that the laws are faithfully executed. That is the constitutional authority. And the legislature has no authority to pass laws that do what they're attempting to do now. That is not delegated in the Constitution. So I observe the things that are happening all over the world. You look at these pushback that's happening, the mass marches across Europe, for example, for the mandates and so on. The people in Europe seem to be much more awakened and aroused than Americans are. Americans are sheeple. And I am just ashamed of what's happening in this nation. There are a few rare exceptions, but I really truly believe that that sooner or later they're gonna cross the bridge. They're gonna be across the river, and sooner or later people are gonna say, wait. Now, whether it's late enough or soon enough to do anything before it gets too late, I don't know. But Americans have got to wake up, and we do have the power to starve this out. You look what happened in England. It's a temporary reprieve, I'm confident. But when the people pushed back about the passport formula they were putting out there to go to the pubs or whatever they're going to do, they said, no, we're okay. Well, yeah, we hear you. We're not going to do it. It's a temporary reprieve. They're getting us further conditioned to be able to accept those things. You're absolutely right. This is not going to go away. Americans need to get the word sooner than later that we're going to say no. It will not happen. Not now, not never. And to do so is going to take some hard things. People are going to have to say, here's what I tell people. Here's what I would do. If it were my job and they said you get vaccinated or you're going to get fired, I'd say I'm not getting vaccinated. They'd go through their process, they'd fire me, and then I would sue them for wrongful discharge. And if 100 million people, 50 million people, 10 million people, however many millions of people did that, sooner or later, this facade would collapse.
And if the governors and the sheriffs said, we're going to nullify now, we're not doing that in my county, 3,000 sheriffs, we're not doing that in my state, 50 different states, all saying, look, Richard Mack and Sheriff Mack's Supreme Court case decision from Antonin Scalia says there's dual sovereignties and there is no authority. Because what happens is that the local people, state-wise, county-wise, they get into a conflict between their oath of office and the Constitution when that happens. And so it's really important, but if we had the backbone of the individuals doing what you're saying, along with state leaders and county leaders doing what I'm saying, it would be shut down in 2 seconds flat. Biden would just look like an idiot.
Well, he is an idiot. But the fact of the matter is, we have people in high places. Most of them carry law degrees. They're any place from legislative to executive or whatever, even ecclesiastical. And they say, oh, we have to obey, honor, and sustain the law. The law is not what Biden did. First of all, he cannot legislate. Second of all, the general government has no authority to create this law. It's a monarchical edict. It's as though the King of England said, verily, thus saith the Lord. And we don't have that kind of government, kids. And we rebelled against that. 1776, they said, no, the king's word is not law. And that's exactly where we are right now. The king's word is not law. And in fact, the parliament, if you use the British analogy, doesn't have the authority to create law in this area. There is none whatsoever. And people need to realize that. And the only way they're having any authority is we capitulate. And there may be some grinchy things that happen. You're going to see people beaten in the streets. I mean, I really believe there'll be incarcerations. If we push back. But the fact of the matter is, we're here. We're now. We don't have any more oceans to cross. We don't have any more planes to come across, where the pioneers left the old system back behind and they went out into the wilderness and built their sod homes or whatever. There aren't any more of those things. Problem is, if you farther go west you go, you come into more of a socialist state anyway, whether it's California, Oregon, or Washington. We've got to draw a line right now. This has got to be it. I do not believe that we can continue to duck and run on this thing. And they'll try to get everybody to bunker up, hunker down, hide out. And there's going to be some pain. We've let it come so far. I don't believe it can be done without pain now. And I think the pain, if we'd have fixed this 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago even, it would have been a lot less painful. But right now, Americans are at a point, most of them don't realize it because they're watching their football game or whatever. I can watch the recreation thing. How did that last team go? Whatever. They're pursuing their, religious education in the public education school that's training them to capitulate to the divine God of government. We just continue along the path, and it isn't going to get any better until we finally say no more. And there are ways to avoid this. Like I say, if you could... This little simple three-page general generic nullification that any legislature could do, and let's say Utah passed it, and they passed it on to Colorado and Wyoming and Montana and so on. They passed it. This kind of thing is happening now without it being noted as nullification. The marijuana laws, the cannabis, the states are saying, we don't care what the feds have done with this thing. We're saying you can use it recreationally or medically, whatever. It's nullification. They're saying that law doesn't apply in our state. And it's just astonishing to me that nobody wants to be free, it seems like. This idea of same-sex marriage or whatever, this would fit in a general nullification of things. Of course, there's other ways to do that one, too. Using Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2. Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, where the legislatures can preclude the courts from ruling on things. But there's tools. And nobody seems to be willing to do it. They want to run to the courts and take it through to the Supreme Court and then get ruled against. Now what are you going to do? And really, nullification is an act of love to prevent open rebellion. If the people have been closed down to the point they have no more options, then the violence occurs. And Burke talked
about that.
Let's
be very
clear,
we're not advocating for that violence in any way, ladies and gentlemen. We're just telling you what we see. Joe Biden literally abusing his authority. The problem is most folks are duped into believing he has that authority. That's where, unless we get educated and understand the proper role of limited constitutional government, we're in trouble. And I don't see any way. Let's come back. Talk about this war in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Texas Facilities Commission announced Texas could award a contract to restart the border wall along a 700-mile stretch of the southern border as early as this week. Texas has more than $1 billion in funding available for construction. Pennsylvania-based Michael Baker International Incorporated and Hewitt Zollers of Dallas was selected as the top candidates for the contract. Four companies in total had expressed interest in the project. North Korea carried out successful tests of a new long-range cruise missile over the weekend, North Korea media said on Monday. The missiles are a strategic weapon of great significance and flew over 930 miles before falling into North Korean waters during the test Saturday and Sunday. Tropical Storm Nicholas is strengthening as it moves northeast in the Gulf of Mexico and up the Texas shoreline Monday morning. Nicholas is about 210 miles south of Port O'Connor and 40 miles southeast of the mouth of the Rio Grande River. USA Radio News.
Oh, according to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/find. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Is that you? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/find. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/find. That's ZipRecruiter.com/find.
North Korea announced it tested a cruise ballistic missile. According to Pyongyang state newspaper, Workers Daily on Monday, said the missile was launched over the weekend and it traveled more than 900 miles before impacting an unknown location in North Korea's portion of the ocean. The report said the missile spent a total of 1.5 hours in the air. Gasoline prices are jumping higher again. John Clemens with the Texas USA Radio News Bureau explains.
After falling 2 cents a gallon during the last reporting period, the national average is now back up to $3.25, an increase of 2 cents over the last week. Oil analyst Trilby Lundberg tells us about the spread from region to region.
San Francisco Bay is the high at $4.48, and the low is Houston at $2.74. Between those extremes, we have Indianapolis at $3.12, Long Island $3.23, and Seattle at $4.01.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
We are USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I hate to keep putting in this vernacular, but I don't know that I have a choice. When they literally know there's health and healing solutions that are inexpensive and mass available to the people, time-tested medications, and they lie and tell you that it's not available, that there's no cure for the COVID, and any doctor who stands up and says, yes, there is, any individual who stands up and says, yes, there is ridiculed and mocked. At some point, life and death is in the balance for folks, and the government's promoting pro-death with their agenda. Then when you have an experimental vaccine, all right, Joe Biden says it's effective, but I don't understand how he can complain, how he claims it's effective. The fact is, we don't know how much antibodies, we don't know the threshold of antibodies to the COVID you have to have in your body to be protected. We don't know that number, so we don't have a yardstick to measure. So if you take the vaccine, you might increase the antibodies in your body, but it doesn't mean that you know that you've reached the threshold to be protected. So if you don't know what the threshold is and you don't know what the number is, how can you say that it's effective? You can't. So their scientific lies are being exposed. The king's word is not law, as Dr. Scott Bradley wisely puts it. But I submit to you that they're literally at war with the people. They're trying to shut down our economy. They're trying to literally force you to take some experimental bioweapon. They're literally turning pseudoscience into a pseudo-weapon against the people. Fauci has got caught lying over and over and over with zero accountability. I don't know any other way to say it, but I think they're declaring war on the people. Not that we want a war, Dr. Bradley, but to them it's war. The evidence is too overwhelming to say otherwise.
Well, we obviously are like sheep, and we take whatever we're fed. and we bleat like sheep for security. I mean, all of these things are so frustrating to me. And it's interesting that, you know, you point out that, you know, the claims of it safe and effective and all, there's no way to verify that. I mean, if you get it, you still have to social distance. You still have to wear a mask. You still get sick. You still get hospitalized. You still die. And there's the downside of the side effects of the jab itself. And if you've got to be, they've gone through this whole regimen of fear and doubt and praising and pleading with bringing forth a some kind of vaccine, and we get it, and it's a kind of an excited rush to it, and then they have to start incenting people with you know, all sorts of, you know, either free beer or free sandwiches or something, and then they put raffles and everything on it, and I mean, it's they're incenting everybody that wants it has got it. I mean, it's just the way it is. It hasn't cost anybody anything to get other than taxpayer, you know, funded things. And yet still half the country doesn't want it. And now they're resorting to coercion. And what's happening around the world is mass rebellion. And as we've talked before, I mean, Australia is now a penal colony again, the way they're running things. But some people are starting to say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. The United States still has a semblance of vestige of republic left, and we can correct this if we
so will. Tea leaves. Do we correct it? Do we call a halt to this con game, or do we get steamrolled?
I think we're going to get steamrolled for a long time. I think Americans are too cowardly, too ignorant, too unwilling to stand up and say no. There will be some. There will be some that will say we're going to an alternative economy. We're going to only deal with those people that have got, you know, have said we're not going to capitulate on this thing. I'll do business with those people before I'll do business with the other people. It's going to take some adjustment, I'm afraid, and the problem is you've got people that, you know, we're representing the people, governors and those people that turn power over to a health department. The health department goes to the businesses in your community and says it's a $10,000 a day fine for you to not require this of your employees or of those that visit your place. I really believe we're being steamrolled towards a mark of the beast kind of thing. It's not hopeless, but people have got to realize they've got a personal responsibility in this, and unless until they do something about that, you know, I personally will not do business with businesses that have treated me that way in the past. And there are people, I know, like, example, one young woman that's a nurse, and she's in another state, and they have a mandate in their hospital. I don't know. It's some kind of a consortium. They're in the hospital things. Everyone will be vaccinated. She went social media. She says, I will not. She got a voice on the thing, and she got an exception. Other people are being browbeat into it. And it's time to speak up. And if, in fact, there's nobody to deliver babies in the hospital, there's nobody to sweep the floors, there's nobody, I mean, you pick what's happening. And pretty soon they'll say, wait, we're collapsing. Our business can't do this. And the big muscle organizations that are seeking to bring this about. I look at the biggest healthcare provider in the state of Utah. They are a 600-pound gorilla just throwing their weight around. But if the people are unwilling to, you know, you'll have physicians that are making $300,000-$400,000 a year that got to say, no, we're not going to do this. We are not going to do this. This is too important for ourselves and our posterity. But it can't
time will tell what happens, ladies and gentlemen, but you have a responsibility. You have some influence. The king's word is not law, and you have the opportunity to do what you can do within the realm that you have, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I want to switch gears, but the topic is the same. The topic is that they're at war with all of us. And I know that's a bold statement. I hate to say it, but when you literally can't get something that can save your life because the government doesn't want you to get it, you got to go, what on earth is going on here? Well, now let's move to this Capitol riot that happened on January the 6th. They claim it was a riot. It wasn't. Most people went there peacefully. The cops literally waved them in. Most people just went there to take selfies and to say, hey, congressmen and senators, please look into vote fraud. We think it's a problem. The government literally created provocateurs that turned it into really what they want to claim is we made the first move. The Patriots made the first move in an act of war. All right. That's what they want you to believe on this thing. But here's some updates for you that I find interesting. And I want to get Dr. Bradley's comments on this. Capitol Police now are covering up 14,000 hours of video on what really happened relating to looking for evidence of what really happened on January the 6th and the vandalism and the trouble that occurred there. Congress has decided, believe it or not, that the Freedom of Information Act law is one that doesn't, well, they don't need to follow it. So Congress doesn't have to follow it. So you can't force Congress to give you any information because the law doesn't apply to them. They just make laws and then exempt themselves, right? But Judicial Watch is asking a court for an order for discovery. That's a legal process through which evidence can be brought to light in legal disputes. This is important, folks. The issue is the evidence that the U.S. Capitol Police Agency has regarding the turmoil and violence that happened on January the 6th. Believe it or not, there's security video, an estimated 14,000 hours of it, that would reveal in live action exactly what happened that day. Judicial Watch wants to see it. Is the Capitol Police covering up what really happened on January 6th by not releasing the videos? They also want access to emails between the police executive team and its board. They also want emails or correspondence between the board and the FBI, the board and the Department of Justice, the FBI and the Department of Justice, and all video footage, from what's inside the Capitol. They want all the footage that's inside the Capitol on that day. As the Pelosi House seeks the confidential phone and social media records of the American citizens, the U.S. Capitol is covering up 14,000 hours. They should be obligated to explain under oath. Now, the Capitol Police are claiming that it's not public records and the public really isn't interested in it, so they shouldn't really publish it. But anyway, this is a big deal. Whether Judicial Watch will really get to the bottom of it, whether we'll really hit pay dirt on this, I don't know, but it's a fair point. Why do we have 14,000 hours of video, but yet we're not going to release any of it to know what happened? What they're going to find is that, you know what? Thousands went to support Trump. Hundreds went inside the Capitol. But only a couple of provocateurs, many of them not even tied to Trump at all, were the bad actors. And even in groups like Oath Keepers or other places, there might have been government plants, provocateurs. Okay, and you look at all this and you go, 14,000 hours of information we're not going to get? I personally had people on the radio that had alternative videos that showed some of the other side, enough to prove it isn't as we're being told. But when we get back, Dr. Bradley, what about they have 14,000 hours they're not going to show us, but yet they use the act of a couple of Americans, provocateurs, to then paint the rest of us as starting a war? It seems they want war. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bradley. So the government, mainly Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and others, deep state government officials are literally saying, hey, you guys started a war on January 6th. It was an act of treason. It was a provocateur act by those who, et cetera, an insurrection. They're claiming a war. But you know what? I documented enough on the radio to show that there's two sides to this. Cops literally were helping. Cops were literally bringing people in, making people feel like they were welcome and invited into the Capitol. Most folks were there peacefully. They blamed it all on Donald Trump. But now the Capitol Police covering up 14,000 hours of evidence regarding January 6th, and they're saying we're not going to get any of it. And now Judicial Watch having to sue to say we want access to not only those 14,000 hours, but all these emails and everything else. And then they're saying, no, we're not going to give you any of that. You don't need that. At some point you go, they're trying to start a war. They're claiming that we fired the first shot in the war. January 6th is the proof. I've documented enough on the radio to in my opinion, even before a court, demonstrate to the contrary. That isn't true. But you've got 14,000 hours that would really set the record straight, but they're not willing to release it. But when they literally declare a treason, declare insurrection on the few provocateurs, and we don't know if the FBI set people up for this or what happened, at some point, they're literally trying to create a war. I don't see it any other way, Dr. Bradley.
The parallels between this and what happened in February of 1933 are uncanny. Here we had had Adolf Hitler just get elected. He was just installed 4 weeks before the Reichstag fire happened. And this January 6th thing happened just before Joe Biden was unconstitutionally foisted into office. But at any rate, there are many that believe the Reichstag fire was a false flag operation, just like we're suggesting has happened in this Capitol riot that they call sedition. There's basically the Nazi regime used the Reichstag fire. Reichstag, for those that might not be thinking along these lines, you have to go look at history sometimes, because if you don't learn from that, you have to repeat it, and that's what we're doing right now. This fire of the parliament, if you will, the Capitol building of Germany, and the Nazis used it to implement their full-blown unlimited power in Germany. And as I always say, that always, you know, we can always look at that and say, oh, that turned out happily ever after. And what they did is they built a frenzy of concern about this and how it was an attempt to overthrow the Republic and all this kind of stuff. And really, there's a lot of evidence that it was a false flag operation put together by the Nazis in order to basically consolidate their power. Hitler just having come into office, and there was an awful lot of power that was handed over to him. What we're finding in America is very similar, that we're not able to get the full story. And I think, as they have said, sunlight is a great disinfectant. We are able to expose to sunlight, to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And there's a concern where there's an effort to hide something, almost always there is some nefarious thing that's attempted to be basically shielded from understanding. And I hope and pray that there'll be a full disclosure. There should be. In America, the founding fathers created a justice system that, if anything, was biased in favor of the accused, that they would much rather let some guilty person go than incarcerate or punish someone that was innocent. So they biased our legal system, at least in the origin. It's not that way.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Savior's time calling for Barabbas to be released, right?
Yeah, and so here's the deal. We need to insist that this is exposed. If full disclosure is absolutely important, I think you'll find that it's a nothing burger. I think you'll find that the insidious things that supposedly happened were probably largely perpetrated by those that had been hired to do them, by the people that, as you point out, are attempting to manipulate this in favor of bigger, stronger, more intrusive government. And that's exactly what came out of the Reichstag fire back in 1933. And so they're attempting to make this again. Again, the parallels are uncanny. People that want to go look at this, we don't have time in a radio program to fully review this thing. But you blame their opposition, the communists and the Nazis. I mean, they were two gangs. They really were. That's what World War II really was gang warfare elevated to the level of national governments. If you've got a couple of gangs on the streets that are throwing rocks at each other or using switchblades or something, it's pretty contained. But if gangs gain power to the point that they run governments, then you get the full force of government oppression that's brought to, you got tanks and battleships and airplanes and, artillery, the whole nine yards. And that's what World War II was. There were different socialist factions throughout the world that wanted to be in charge, whether it's the fascists or the communists or the democratic socialists or, you pick the parties, whether it's in England or the United States or Germany or Russia or Italy or France, you can pick that the poisons that were involved in trying to gain power of government led to a world war where the gangs were simply trying to have ascendancy over others. That's what it was. And the people suffered because of that, because government had become so oppressive, it's the most onerous mortal power on earth. So anyway, that's
and we
that's
need to dig into some
on.
Of these congressmen and senators like Pelosi, who are now blaming it, saying, hey, this was an insurrection, to know if they were involved in the provocateur agenda here or not. But yet, you know what? Congress has decided the Freedom of Information Act is a law they don't have to follow. It doesn't apply to them. Something else that's interesting about Joe Biden's edict on vaccinations, members of Congress and their staffs are exempt from Biden vaccine mandate. That's the way to get Congress not to fight for you on this thing. Just exempt them. It's like Social Security. They don't have the Social Security. They got their own special retirement program, 10 times more lucrative, 1,000 times more lucrative than whatever we have. This is what's going on. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, speaking out saying, I had no idea that anyone alive could wreck this country as fast as Joe has. it's a pretty bold statement, but at the same time, it has no teeth. What we need are people that have a lot less rhetoric and a whole lot more understanding about the Constitution and the checks and balances that we need to bring back. Okay, we need Kristi to not have a bunch of rhetoric against Joe. What we need to simply have her do is say, look, we're nullifying in our state. Joe has no effect here. And Richard Mack's Supreme Court case is the case precedent to prove it. We already beat Bill over this. We don't need to go beat Joe over it, too. Joe, listen, Bill lost, and you've already lost based on the reality here. And what we need to do is have people do a whole lot less suing and a whole lot more doing, Doctor.
It's time to act. I mean, I am just appalled. There's a lot of things that bother me. I guess I would be honest about that. But we get lip service out of most legislatures. I told you about that little three-page generic nullification resolution I put together for them. It was completely ignored. They don't want to take a stand. You could look at Utah legislature this spring spring of 2020, and then this year with their standard legislative session, they didn't reel in the governor. They didn't take back the usurpation that had happened. They wrung their hands in impotent despair, and nobody wanted to really take the hard issues on, and they gave little mamby-pamby kind of pat on the hands kind of thing. They didn't even slap any hands. But in talking to legislators that that I've had contact with, they say, well, but if I did that, my bills would never get passed. Okay. Are they there to pass bills, or are they there to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States and the state of whatever they're in? And
well, the ones that have spoke out and told you, they've told you what they're there for. They're there to pass bills.
That's right. And they have their measurement tool is, oh, I got seven of my bills through this last year. Oh, there were seven bills about, legislating against the crickets because they took the Mormons' crops or whatever, back in the 1840s. It's astounding to me how pointless it is. And they pass, hundreds and hundreds of bills, like 700 bills in a session. And
it's time, like, ladies and gentlemen, to peacefully assert ourselves and demand that the checks and balances of the Constitution are followed. The checks and balances not only vertically but horizontally across our country. We need to have the legislative body, the Congress, say, Joe, you're out of line. You don't have any authority to do that. If we were to make a law, that would be up to us. And you don't have lawmaking authority. So Congress should work on impeaching Joe over this immediately. The states should simply nullify now and say, you know what? You're not doing that in my state. You have no authority. Now, if you want to mandate that for your 10-mile square, whatever, you can talk to the, to D.C. and the Congress about that. But you know what? As for us in our state, you have no effect, no authority whatsoever. We need the people to quit jobs and say, you know what? We mean it. We're not going to let our employers dictate this. Because otherwise, pretty soon the employers will say, because of global warming, because of climate change, people are having too many babies. If you don't make yourself sterile, you don't tie your tubes as a woman or, get the snip as a man, whatever, then, you can't work here because you're going to produce too many babies. And you know what? Climate change, you're going to ruin the planet. You say that, well, that's an extreme example, Sam. If they can put an experimental jab in your arm, nothing they can do to your body is extreme, ladies and gentlemen. What will the next steps be? What will the next mandates be? That's the problem that we face here is that do they have the authority? And they don't. And unless we assert ourselves now using the peaceful checks and balances of the supreme law of the land, they're going to try to force a war on us. They already tried to bait good people who went to the Capitol to say, let's peacefully have Congress look into this vote fraud thing. That's the next peaceful, rightful remedy. And then what they did is turned it around with a few provocateurs, and now everybody, even on the same general page of thinking, anybody conservative, anybody who believes in Trump, anybody who has gone to rallies in the past that's conservative, somehow they're part of it, even though they never went. Even though, we recommended don't go to the Capitol, it's going to go bad. They're literally using this to create a war scenario. And what they want to do is they want to say, you started it. Now what they want to do is have us get all crazy about vaccines and then say, see, you guys are warlike people. So you got to remain peaceful, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to keep your head and you've got to hold the moral high ground. And you've got to use the peaceful remedies that our founders gave us. They went to war to give us peaceful remedies. The checks and balances in the supreme law of the land, moral people keeping their oaths of office, that's where the peaceful remedies begin. And that's where we can use vertical and horizontal checks and balances. But we better do it now. Dr. Bradley, final word's yours.
Never, 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 never give up. Don't quit. Get fired if you have to, and then take appropriate action. But you know what? They can't find enough employees now to fill the jobs they've got. Why are they going to fire half their workforce when this mandate comes down? We got leverage. Don't give up.
It's almost like they've gone kamikaze, isn't it?
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, pray hard and work hard. That's your responsibility and mine. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his incredible website, they've deplatformed him, so he's putting videos up back as fast as he can. But he does have the weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more. Check it out. Get involved. freedomsrisingsun.com. I'm Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. For Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.